VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And we thank you for joining us here on Crosstalk, coming your way from VCY America. And just a reminder to those of you in Alabama listening today, the importance of your election for you to be casting a prayerful vote as it pertains to this election. I know much of the nation is watching Alabama, and we encourage our listeners to be praying regarding a very critical election going on today. Turning our attention to the issues at hand, our previous president, Barack Obama, had opened the floodgates for transgenderism to be front and center in our military. This drastic change in policy also allows the American taxpayer to pay for so-called transition therapy and transition surgery. We're told it's a right. We're told that it allows our nation's finest to be involved in our military readiness. However, our commander-in-chief presently sees things differently. President Donald Trump has put a ban on the Obama order taking effect. That is, until a federal judge, not one but two, has decided that they have more authority on this issue than the commander-in-chief. So where do things stand? How imminent is this for the military? And what can you do? Joining us today, we welcome back to Crosstalk Elaine Donnelly, president of the Center for Military Readiness. They're an independent, nonpartisan public policy organization specializing in military social issues. Elaine, thanks for joining us today here on Crosstalk.
Hi, nice to talk with you today.
Elaine, though I've kind of shared a brief introduction, if you could just guide us through a timeline on how we got to this point. It used to be that homosexuals were not allowed to serve in the U.S. military, and now, not too many years later, we're talking about men who openly wish to identify as women and women who wish to identify as men to provide for our national defense. Walk us through, how did we get to this point?
Well, you explained it and summarized it very well, and it does go back to 2010. One of the predictions that many of us made at that time, when President Obama was pushing hard to repeal the 1993 law regarding gays in the military, it was denied at that time that repeal of the law would lead to what we are seeing right now, an open door to people who are confused about their gender identity coming into the military. That was denied. Of course, we're seeing it now. It's one of five major promises that were made and broken, and predictions that we made that have been carried out. And it's most unfortunate. There is nothing beneficial for the military in these policies that President Obama imposed on the military in the waning months of his administration. You see, right up till June 2016, this issue was not really being discussed seriously. Transgenderism or gender dysphoria, what used to be called gender identity confusion or disconnect, there's a phrase for that, but now they call it gender identity disorder.
They called it
gender identity disorder. Mm-hmm. They didn't like the word disorder, so they took that out. But gender dysphoria is one of a number of psychological conditions that really has serious medical and psychological impact. A person who must undergo or feels he must go through extensive hormone therapy, even surgeries, changing appearance, changing the appearance of the body, removal of healthy body parts, changing hairstyle appearance, all of these things, even pronouns, these physical changes do not change gender. They can't. It is unscientific to suggest that human DNA, something that is in every cell of the human body, that DNA and all of the gender differences that are coded in that DNA, that all that can be changed by removing a body part or changing one's appearance or hairstyle or something. The whole idea is ludicrous. But the Department of Defense has bought into this completely. And the leaders of the military, both civilian and uniformed, unfortunately, who were in office at the time, have gone along with Obama's mandates and directives and instructions and training programs to get everybody to go along with this theory that you can really change gender just by changing a gender marker in your technical record. Now, enter Donald Trump and the Republican Party. During the convention in Cleveland, the Republican National Platform Committee adopted a firm plank saying, we call for an end to political correctness in the military. President Trump said it over and over again. And he showed leadership when, okay, people say it wasn't presidential to announce his intent with tweets, but even if he had announced his intent in a State of the Union address, they would have complained because President Trump is saying, we want to restore sound policy for the military, something that makes our military stronger, that benefits mission readiness and combat lethality. These are the principles on which he's been standing. Now we arrive at a point, though, where some holdovers in the administration and the Department of Defense are resisting the president, and we have an activist federal judge in Washington, D.C. Actually, there are two. One is in Baltimore. This judge who, she seems to be acting as a supreme judicial commander of the military. We have a picture, a kind of a drawing suggesting what she pretends to be, four stars on her shoulder and medals on her chest, and a judge's gavel, but judges don't get to run our military. They have no constitutional authority to do so. So President Trump, his directives are being undermined by this federal judge, and unfortunately, some people in the administration don't seem to understand what is at risk, and I think they're letting the president down.
Let's talk about how this whole matter of transgenderism in the military, how is our military readiness impacted by this?
Well, you have to start with the medical issues. Again, gender dysphoria is a psychological condition. Treatment requires many, many hours of counseling, months of time off for real-life experience, RLE. It has its own acronym, where a person is allowed to experiment living as a person of the opposite sex. Then you have side effects from hormone therapy. You have even longer side effects from surgery if the person decides to have surgery. You have medical complications also because doctors and nurses, if they object to these kinds of treatments based on religious conviction or medical ethics for whatever reason, they have no choice. They have to participate or refer the person to someone who will give them what they are asking for. You also have the issue of privacy in private facilities, women especially, are supposed to get used to the idea of persons of the opposite sex in their private showers and living quarters. This is ironic given all the controversy about sexual approaches to women that are inappropriate. All of these complications would have to be handled by commanders who frankly have better things to do. If you have to deal with all of the psychological issues, the impact on everyone else, and you have to keep adhering to this myth that gender can be changed with physical appearances and bureaucratic changes in your record, all of that just detracts and distracts from what the military is supposed to do. The military is supposed to defend the country. This is something that is extremely controversial, and yet the LGBT activists are getting away with getting the Department of Defense to carry out their agenda.
Secretary of Defense Mattis, where is he in all of this?
Secretary Mattis, I'm afraid, has not gotten his own department under control. There have been a number of holdovers, starting with the former Deputy Secretary of Defense, Robert Work. He has since left, but he did a lot of damage while he was still in the Trump Department of Defense. We still have a man named Anthony Curta. And Curta, unfortunately, is the guy who, under Obama, implemented all of these transgender policies. Back in June of this year, he raised a lot of controversy when he staged and participated in an LGBT pride celebration in the Pentagon, even though President Trump, to his credit, had not authorized a celebration of LGBT Pride Month in his administration. This man, we found out just recently, has been running the so-called study group or the panel of experts that's going to make recommendations to President Trump on what his policy regarding transgenders should be. Now, there's two things wrong with this. Number one, instead of being fired for what happened back in June, the LGBT pride thing, Mr. Curta has been promoted. He's going to be the deputy to the official in the Pentagon who is supposed to be responsible for all of these personnel matters. So his confirmation went to the Senate, and in his written responses, he was asked, well, what are you doing on this issue? He's chairing the panel that's going to make recommendations to President Trump.
Oh, my.
Now, you tell me, what is wrong with this picture? I'll make a prediction here. You can expect sometime in the month of December, a leak will come out of the Pentagon from this elite group headed by this this holdover from the Obama administration. His name may not appear in the article, but believe me, he's in charge of this group. They're going to leak to the Washington Post or major media that, oh, everything is fine and the Pentagon is prepared. And starting on January 1, according to the court order, we're going to have transgenders joining our military for the first time in our military history. So it's all of these moving parts are coming together. And I really feel badly for the president. I think he really has stuck his neck out. But the people under him, even the Department of Justice headed by Jeff Sessions, they finally got around to asking for a stay of the judge's ruling. But so many weeks passed, 5 weeks, that the judge not only rejected that motion for a stay, she chided the Department of Justice for not showing more alacrity in filing that request for a stay. In other words, she was mocking them for being so slow. This is really embarrassing. Now, can the Department of Justice still do something about this? Well, they could. Do you remember what happened on the immigration ban, the travel ban? A number of district judges ruled against mm-hmm. President Trump, mm-hmm. at least 3 states. So the Department of Justice got busy. They filed appeals. They asked for stays. The stays were rejected. They went up the chain. They went to the Supreme Court. And just a couple of weeks ago, the Supreme Court agreed with President Trump's position. Now, that's a temporary ruling, but it was certainly encouraging nonetheless. But on this issue, we're not doing, or the Department of Justice did not do for our military what was done on the travel ban issue. And that is most unfortunate. Is there time to get this done before January 1? I would hope so, because once things start to happen on January 1, there'll be no going back.
Elaine Donnelly is our guest here today on Crosstalk, president of the Center for Military Readiness. And, folks, this issue is ever before us. Elaine, you mentioned the date of January 1. That's the date this is to take effect?
That's right. And this goes back to what occurred last June. The Obama administration ordered that on July 1st of this year, in the new administration, there would be an allowance for new transgenders to come in the military. In other words, to recruit people who suffer from gender dysphoria. Well, on the night before that order went into effect, Secretary of Defense James Mattis issued a one-page memo, and he said, no, we're not going to do that, and he put it off until January 1. Now, we objected at the time. We appreciated the partial delay, but objected because January 1 is right smack in the middle of the holiday Christmas season. This was not good strategy, and it was engineered by an Obama holdover at the time, Robert O. Work.
Let's pick up with that after the break. This is Crosstalk on VCY America. Folks, don't go away. Have a sheet of paper handy, a pen to write with. We'll be giving you some contact numbers here in a bit here as well.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, author and seminar speaker with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, since in the Garden of Eden, people were eating plants, and certainly insects died there, can we say that there was no death before sin?
Chris, creationists insist on the biblical doctrine that the wages of sin is death, and that Adam's rebellion brought death into a once very good creation which had no death. In doing so, we must be careful to use the right terms. Certainly Adam and Eve were commanded to eat fruit in the garden, and this implies plant death. It would also be difficult for Adam to avoid stepping on an ant as he walked around. But is this death? The Bible never uses the term living for plants or insects. It teaches that life is in the blood and speaks of the breath of life. Thus only air-breathing, blood-filled animals lived or died. Chris, there was no true death before sin. Let's go back to Genesis for our perspective on these things.
Thanks for joining us for Back to Genesis.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Folks, January 1st is coming very, very quickly upon us. And Elaine is at, we were talking about January 1. This is the date right in the middle of the holiday season when this is to take effect. I mean, there are going to be courts that are shut down and legal offices. The Department of Justice, I'm sure, is not going to be at full strength. And yet this is coming. Couldn't the Secretary of Defense even say, well, I'm delaying this 3 months, 6 months down the road?
Unfortunately, the Secretary of Defense cannot do that without being accused of being in contempt of the court. That's how federal courts operate. However, the Secretary of Defense could and should clean out of his department, in the Department of Defense, the holdovers who are helping the LGBT faction to win. And that would start with Anthony Curta, the guy who has a team of experts, a panel of experts, that are supposed to advise the Secretary of Defense and the President on transgender policy. As far as we know, Mr. Curta has a long history of working with the LGBT activist groups. And the RAND Corporation, same thing. RAND praised Mr. Curta and thanked him for all his help in writing a report in 2016 that advocated very blatantly and a very flawed report advocating for transgenders in the military. That RAND report used questionable methodology to downplay the costs and to play up the supposed number of transgenders in the military, even though only 250 have asked for treatment since the Obama administration changed policy in the last months of the administration. So the LGBT complex in the Pentagon, talk about the swamp that needs mm-hmm. to be drained.
Yeah.
This swamp has not been drained.
How is
the Secretary of Defense, unfortunately, has not paid sufficient attention to this problem.
How is it that the pen of former President Obama, the ink from that pen, has greater authority than the ink from President Donald Trump's pen?
That's a very good question, because the judge says so. The obvious contradiction in her opinion just jumps out of the page. On the one hand, she says, well, the military, the most authoritative people who could possibly speak on this issue, agreed with President Obama's policy. Well, of course they did. They were duty-bound to make that policy work, and of course they went along with it. But then she says, well, we can't wait for the Department of Defense to come up with an objective study because the president already announced his intent in tweets. Therefore, it's not going to be fair and open and objective. Therefore, the plaintiffs win. And she issued a preliminary injunction saying it's so urgent that policy of the president must be overturned and everything has to happen starting on January 1. And again, Secretary of Defense Mattis agreed to that January 1 date. He shouldn't have. It was at that time the military leaders were asking for at least a 2-year delay. But it was Mattis' own deputy, a man named Robert Warrick, a holdover from the Obama administration. Robert Work whittled the time down to only 6 months, with the ending of that 6 months being right there when the crystal ball drops on New Year's Eve in New York City. It was a really bad strategy when it was announced. We criticized it at the time, and I hate being right about things like this, but now we're seeing it all play out.
Mm-hmm.
And the LGBT faction has got everything in line. But the only way to stop this is for the Department of Justice to get in gear belatedly and do what they should have done weeks ago in appealing this directly to the Supreme Court. Now, yeah, that's going to interfere with their Christmas, but maybe they should have done something a few weeks ago when it might have been more efficient in a way to go about it.
So you're calling upon the Trump administration, namely the Department of Justice, to go ahead and fight this order from the judge.
Absolutely. They have to fight the order from the judge. And you know what? It isn't just this issue. Let's say that a federal judge, and I have to credit James Hassan, another writer, for this analogy. He said, what if the judge said, well, the infantry officer course has only graduated one woman, and the course, therefore, is so tough, it's unfair to women. I am hereby ordering that the infantry officer course in the Marine Corps needs to be changed so that women can pass. Now, that's an equal opportunity argument. It's similar to the equal opportunity argument being made with regard to transgenders. Why should the President of the United States allow a federal judge to make policy in a matter such as that, or any policy for that matter? You see, the United States Constitution in Article 3 is about the judiciary. Not one word of it gives any power to the judiciary to make policy for the military. There have been numerous Supreme Court precedents saying that Congress and the President, under the first two articles of the Constitution, they have the power to make and implement policy, not the judiciary. Now, that's a constitutional argument, but the court hasn't even gotten to the constitutional arguments yet. On the procedural issues alone, the district judge just swept aside the solid arguments of the Department of Justice and said, what I say goes. This is the definition of an activist supremacist judge. It is something that the president fought on the immigration travel ban issue, and the Supreme Court ultimately agreed. This is a no-brainer. The Department of Justice should have been on this immediately, and they still could be on it to take it all the way. But I'm wondering if President Trump really understands or has been told how he is not being well served by the appointees that he's been counting on.
Namely, the Secretary of Defense and the Attorney General of the United States.
Yes, and their subordinates, the Solicitor General, the person in charge of personnel and readiness in the Pentagon. There is a new person who was confirmed, and he hasn't even gotten in office yet really taken control, because his principal deputy, appointed by the Trump administration, has been writing the recommendations that are going to go to the president's desk either by the end of this month, they'll be leaked to the newspapers, or as directed by the president on February 29. So we're going to have a couple of things happening in the next several weeks. People should not be surprised, but they certainly will be disappointed to see how this plays out.
Well, this really boils down to the question then, Elaine. I mean, people listening right now say, well, if the secretary isn't doing this, or the attorney general's not doing it, what can I do as an individual, just a common, ordinary citizen listening to this program? What can I do? How can I get engaged?
Well, the first thing you can do, and I would strongly urge your listeners to do this, is call the White House Opinion Line. I don't have the number in front of me.
I do, and I'll give it here momentarily.
Okay. Yeah, the White House Opinion Line, they need to hear from a lot of people saying, why are you allowing this to happen? Do what it takes. You've got to fight. And you know, that's a simple message. The actual legal kabuki dance that's going on, believe me, I've spent a long time just trying to figure out what are the attorneys arguing, and why did the judge say what she said? What about the second opinion that came down in Baltimore? It's all very complicated, and we have analyzed it. You can read all about it on an article, a featured article on our webpage today. It's called Supreme Judicial Commanders Should Not Run Our Military. The address is 3ws.cmrlink.org. There is a new update on there, and there's a second article about Mr. Anthony Curta, the Obama holdover, who is going to be issuing recommendations to the president probably before the end of the year or shortly thereafter.
Again, folks, their link is CMR. That stands for Center for Military Readiness, CMRlink.org. Now, folks, there is a phone number that you can contact to the White House comment line, the opinion line, and that number is 202-456-1111. Now, frankly, there needs to be calls coming from every quarter across this nation to Washington, D.C., to the White House, asking Donald Trump, President Donald Trump, to stand up and to fight for this, and to certainly to fully engage his attorney general, demand that the Secretary of Defense, let's drain the swamp, as promised by the president, of these holdovers from the Obama administration on this issue. The White House comment line is 202-456-1111.
Don't forget Twitter also.
And folks, you know how to do that as well. You've got those social media contacts and Facebook and everything else. 202-456-1111. Many of you, no doubt, are on the president's Twitter account, and fire back that way as well. If you want to speak with somebody at the White House, you can even go through the switchboard at 202-456-1111. 1414. If you get busy at one, try the other line, but let your opinion be known by this administration. And Elaine, as we take a look here at the calendar, we're December 12th right now, and we're talking another 19 days when this will be taking effect.
Well, that's why the word emergency comes to mind. Again, the emergency occurred several weeks ago, October 30 to be exact. Some time has been lost, and that is regrettable. However, if the president becomes specifically engaged, and I hope that he will, I think he needs to make some things happen here. He has not been well served, and I appreciate his attempt to lead on this issue. He's being dragged down by members of Congress, people like the chairman of the Armed Services Committee, Senator McCain. He's been attacked by the media, of course. He's being attacked and undermined by some of the holdovers who are still in his administration. This is not easy. To be a leader on an issue like this is not easy. But remember, our people in uniform, they have no say. A doctor or a nurse who wants nothing to do with gender so-called reassignment surgery or hormone treatments, even for children, children who are vulnerable, children who are confused about their gender identity. Did you know that the transgender activist groups are demanding that Department of Defense funds be extended to cover surgeries on children?
Mine.
As it is now, they can get hormone blockers already. Mr. Curta, in his statements given to the Senate Armed Services Committee, made it clear he has no problem with that. This is where this issue is going. It doesn't just start with a few people who are gender confused going in the military. You have to change everything else, the medical system and the legal system and the bureaucratic system. You even have to change pronouns. Being a little ridiculous about it, looking at a person who clearly is male and having to refer to that person as a female, allowing certain people to take months at a time away for real-life experience, experimenting as a person of the opposite sex. The more these kinds of things occur, the more demoralizing it's going to be. And you know, our all-volunteer force is a fragile institution these days. Recruiting is getting tougher every day because the economy is picking up. So if people get the idea, well, if I go in the military, I'm going to be part of this vast social experiment, and no, I don't want to expose myself or my son or daughter to persons of the opposite sex, in that kind of an intimate situation, people who claim to be of the opposite sex, there's going to be a lot of people deciding, well, I don't think I'm going to go to be part of the military, and the figures are showing it already that recruiting is suffering. You remember the fuss about a month ago about whether people who are psychologically prone to suicide, whether they should be allowed to join, or had a record of doing things in their past that would recommend, would say that they shouldn't perhaps be eligible to join the military. When you have people saying, well, let's look at this, let's lower the level of command as to who should decide, it's not a good sign of strength in our military.
Elaine Donnelly, our guest here today from the Center for Military Readiness. We're opening our phone lines, folks. Your reaction to the story. January 1 is when this is to take effect. Our number to crosstalk, 800-733-9829. Again, our number is 800-733-9829. Your calls after the break. This is Crosstalk.
Nearly every common behavioral problem is considered to be a disease in American culture today. Gambling, overeating, and certainly drugs and alcohol. But God's Word lovingly tells us the truth about the very heart of addiction. Yet the Bible is a neglected resource for those who suffer from these so-called addictions. One of the reasons for this is that people choose to believe the theories and ideas of mankind that the disease renders them powerless to overcome the problem. However, a Christian is not powerless and has the indwelling power of the Holy Spirit to enable them to say no to choices that will mentally enslave them. In the book, The Heart of Addiction, biblical counselor Mark Shaw confronts these life-dominating sins and provides biblical tools to help us examine our heart's motives at the root of addiction and how to obtain victory. The Heart of Addiction is available for a donation of $15 or more to VCY America. Ask for it when you call 1-800-729-9829.
Friends, I know this time of year is busy. I know you've got a to-do list that exceeds the amount of time that there is. I know that it may mean a break from holiday shopping and baking and rushing here and there, practicing for your programs at churches. But folks, the White House needs to hear from you on this issue. This is to take effect on January the 1st. And right now, we have just kind of a very casual approach, even by the Department of Defense or by the Department of Justice on this issue. And certainly your comments to President Trump at this time to fight for what is right and moral for our military here. Then the comment line is 202-456-1111. 202-456-1111. Now, our number here to Crosstalk is 800-733-9829. We're going to begin with Ben, who is calling from Colorado. Ben, you're on the air.
Hey, Jim. It's good to talk to you again. I want to comment on the whole thing with women and transgenders in the military. I mean, starting off with women, you know, not degrading women or lessening them or anything, but, you know, biblically, women aren't supposed to be in the military. I think Deborah was the first one mentioned to actually be in the military, and the reason she was is because Derek was a coward, and, you know, being a man, he wasn't stepping up to his responsibilities, and so in that case, the women will step in and take over that, just like in our society today. And our military today.
Tell you what, Ben, let's really focus in on our main topic for today with the imminency of January 1 coming. Your comment here pertaining to the transgender matter.
Right. Well, first off, like you said, the court has no say in that. So, I mean, to get past that, I mean, what has to happen there, basically? Does that have to go to the Supreme Court to get that overturned, and the court has no business in that?
Good question. What's the legal process here, Elaine?
Well, the Department of Justice has been turned down on having a stay. That means they need to appeal to the D.C., that is Washington, D.C. Court of Appeals. If they are turned back there, then they have to ask for an emergency intervention by the United States Supreme Court. It would probably be one justice in an emergency situation to say, wait a minute, there is a study going on, and even though we know that that study's probably going to be skewed by Mr. Curta, there needs to be time for the Department of Defense to make its case on the merits of the case. Now, there's a good argument to be made there that this should not happen without the opportunity for independent witnesses and experts to be involved. But the lower court is not listening to that. Maybe, just maybe, the Supreme Court would. They did say that the Department of, President Trump had a point on the immigration travel ban issue because it's a matter of national security. Now, the makeup of our armed forces is also a matter of national security. In fact, I would say even more a matter of national security. And the commander-in-chief should have a say. The Department of Defense should be able to have time to look at this issue objectively. And even though time is short, there's no need to push this through on January 1.
Ben, any follow-up?
I think that answered my question. I think it's just a shame that we're having to put up with this right now because of how absurd it is.
Absolutely.
Right.
Thank you for the call. We have Roy in Bayside. You're on the air.
I'll be quick, just three sentences. I praise you, Jim Schneider, and your guest. She said that federal judges are stealing political power. Mr. Pat Robertson, founder of Regent University, wrote a book entitled Courting Disaster, How the Supreme Court is Usurping, that means stealing, the power of Congress and the people. Also, Presidents Jefferson, Jackson, and Lincoln warned against federal judges stealing power.
Yeah,
right.
Thank you. And Elaine, that's what we're seeing here.
It is what's happening, but don't forget Congress. Congress has been remiss. They have not been exercising diligent oversight. There have been no hearings on this issue. And that, too, is unfortunate. They are elected officials, and they need to look at this issue as a matter of national defense, not so-called civil rights. There is no civil right to be in the military. It just doesn't exist. The military defends individual rights, but it must be governed by different rules. Federal judges do not have the authority, much less the expertise to run our military.
Again, the White House comment line, 202-456-1111, 202-456-1111. The main switchboard there is 1414. Don in Cantonment, Florida, you're on the air.
Yeah, thank you for taking my call, and I appreciate everything that Sister Donnelly has to say and you have to say on this subject today, Jim. Transgenderism is confusion. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 33 says that our God, Jesus Christ, is not the originator of confusion, but Satan is, it's implied, is the originator of this type of confusion. And when these people go in the military, they're using taxpayer monies to change their sex. Look, if you can't tell what sex someone is from the back, your hair's too long or too short. And what these transgender people need to do is to make their peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ by inviting Jesus into their heart.
Don,
holiday.
Thank you so much, Don. And certainly there is hope and change is available. And what we are seeing take place is people who are gender confused. Now, Elaine, he mentioned about paying for surgeries. Did we not just with taxpayer dollars fund the surgery for someone to change their appearance to appear as one of the opposite gender?
Yes, that happened just recently. It's part of the legal kabuki dance that's going on. The administration said that the individuals who were admitted to the military under Obama and are transgender, that they would not interfere with anything that would harm them or change something they otherwise would receive. And so they followed through on their promise. But that hasn't cut any ice with the judge, because the judge keeps saying, well, you're going to close the door anyway, and I know better than you do, and the Obama administration officials know better than your officials do. Therefore, on January 1, everything must be overturned and done my way. In essence, that's what the preliminary injunction says. Don is correct. The experts have pointed out that gender dysphoria, when it is treated with surgery, doesn't solve underlying problems, including high risks of suicide. It is very sad. You really have to have a lot of compassion for people and their families who suffer from this disorder. It is a psychological condition, one of many, that make you unqualified to be in the armed forces. You cannot include everybody in the armed forces without interfering with military deployability and readiness. But it's not going to solve personal problems either, and that's the sad part. Many people have asked for gender changes to be reversed because they realize afterwards that they made the wrong decision. And this can happen, especially if they're not offered a second opinion. We don't need to politicize the military health system. The military health system is there to strengthen the force. It's a force multiplier. We shouldn't be using it for special interest kinds of things like this. And by the way, these costs would be much, much higher than what the Obama administration claimed based on a skewed report from the RAND Corporation.
Our telephone number to Crosstalk is 800-733-9829, 800-733-9829. Your reaction to this, folks, December 12th right now, January 1 coming very quickly. Ron is calling from Minnesota. Ron, you're on the air.
Yes, thank you for taking my call. And my question was, with all the controversy going on about sexual harassment, I wonder if this is just a very egregious thing to cause sexual harassment to women and men in our military.
Well, there are some people, and we know this in some domestic department stores. We have heard more than a few stories or seen stories about gender pretenders. People who have not gotten transgender treatments, certainly not surgeries, but they claim to be, well, today I feel like a woman, so I'm going to go to the woman's changing room. Gender pretenders can be a real or a perceived threat, and I don't think it's fair to say that our military women should have to put up with that. Yeah, it goes both ways, men as well, but women would be the ones most egregiously affected. Remember the schools as well. The Obama administration tried to order that all the Department of Defense schools should have open-door policies that are enormously controversial in civilian schools all over the nation. The Trump administration came in and reversed that for Department of Defense schools. It's the largest system in the world, by the way. But the transgender activists who have the judge working for them, they want to change that. So how does that affect military families? Well, we could lose a lot of good military families because of social engineering such as this.
Thank you, Ron.
Thank you.
Bobby is next. Milwaukee, you're on the air, Bobby.
Hi. All I can say is this is old news. This has been covered, reviewed. The RAND report she mentioned discusses all of this and dismisses her arguments. In fact,
no, it doesn't.
Half of her claims are just false.
No, it doesn't. The RAND report was written in consultation with the LGBT activist groups, the Human Rights Campaign, the Palm Center, the Williams Institute. Their views are well known. The way that they figured their costs and numbers, it's so full of holes. I would recommend that you look at, well, let's see, Representative Vicki Hartzler has posted an analysis of how deeply flawed the RAND numbers are. Family Research Council has done the same. We need a truly independent analysis of costs and consequences. The RAND administration gave the Obama administration what they wanted. That report was bought and paid for, and it delivered. It's a polemic promoting transgenders in the military.
Bobby, any follow-up?
Yeah, she's making up stuff that's been debunked by the report because she doesn't like what the report says.
Okay. Okay, thank you. The era of fake news here is before us, Elaine.
Yes, it's a fake report.
Yeah.
RAND has produced these reports consistently, going back decades. My organization has on many occasions analyzed these RAND reports line by line, but they're so hopelessly skewed. It's a very time-consuming exercise. They're primarily academics. They come from the left side of the political spectrum. The only experts they consult are, again, from the LGBT left. So they really are not, should not be given the respect that members of the media have given these reports. But the Department of Defense, they don't have something comparable because, well, it's never been necessary to explain to a federal court why you don't have people with certain psychological conditions allowed to serve in the armed forces. There are a lot of psychological conditions that make you ineligible, but we don't have to issue a report justifying every single one of them. It is self-evident that you cannot be deployable if you're undergoing medical treatments, if you have certain physical or psychological conditions that make you non-deployable. It's a matter of military readiness. The military is not an equal opportunity employer.
We're going to, we're just seconds from a break, but folks, let me just mention again the White House comment line, and they really need to hear from every single one of you listening to the program today, and it's only going to take a minute of your time to do so. The comment line is 202-456-1111, and Elaine, if you were leaving a comment right now, you would be saying what?
I would say the Department of Justice has got to fight for the president's prerogative to set policy for our military on the issue of transgenders in the military.
And, folks, again, that number, 202-456-1111. We'll take a quick break and back to your calls here on Crosstalk.
For the Worldview Weekend Minute, I'm Brandon House. Our website is worldviewtimes.com. Have you ever heard people say, well, secondary issues really don't matter? Well, my friends, I believe secondary issues do matter. Now, of course, we know there are the essentials of what it means to be a Christian, the essentials of the gospel, faith, and repentance. These are essentials. But then people say beyond that there are secondary issues, and they're not really vital. Well, you know what? All of the Word of God is vital. In fact, the Bible is very clear that it is the entire Word of God that is God-breathed. It is inspired, and it is profitable for reproof and correction, and that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. There are vital issues related to family, church, government, and many other issues. We can't say these are secondary issues. Nothing in the Bible is a secondary issue. Yes, there are vital issues for the gospel, and there are vital issues for living the Christian life.
friends, the Center for Military Readiness has posted some important critical articles on this very issue, and I certainly commend their website to you, which is CMR. Again, that stands for Center for Military Readiness, CMRlink.org. And you'll find access right there on their site to two critical articles on this matter. Their president is with us today, Elaine Donnelly, and the White House comment line is 202-456-1111. Let's go to the state of Indiana. Caller, go ahead. You're on the air.
Hello? Can you hear me?
Yes, go ahead, please.
Yes, I just want to make a quick point. Like me, I just retired from the military, been in 12 years, and everybody's got these opinions and opinions and opinions about the left, the right, the government, the policies, and here's my thing, and this is just my opinion. Coming from me, if you can fight with me on the left and the right side of me and save me while I save you, I say you can fight and do whatever you need to. Mm-hmm. The problem that I have is not that, I mean, there's already transgenders and homosexuals and all different walks of life in the military. My problem is when it comes to play, when people just join for the surgery or people just join to get the surgery, they're out for 3-4 years. It can't be an austere environment. And then we have to do sensitivity training. And it's mm-hmm. all about, now it's about equal opportunity and
okay.
sexual harassment.
Yeah,
and
first of all, thank you for your service. I appreciate it very much. But you're kind of answering your own question. You said, I don't care, you know, if as long as somebody, my right or left, is going to, you know, they're going to look out for me in that regard. But the point is, Elaine, that person's not going to be there.
Well, the caller has a good point, and that is exactly the point. If you look at the very elaborate implementation plans of the administration, which we analyzed earlier this year, you can see them on our webpage, and they're linked in several other articles, 15 different directives. They allow for things, as I mentioned before, real-life experience, time off, weeks or months at a time, for individuals to go off and explore whether or not they want to be a person of the opposite sex. And while they're gone, of course, everybody else has to pick up the slack. You don't get new people to fill in while the person who's confused goes off to find out what they should do. And then if they undergo psychological therapy, hormone therapy, some hormone therapies, there's even warnings in some of these implementation documents saying if you're into diving or aviation, it may affect your ability to do your job. If you're not deployable, certainly not to countries that sort of look down, look with disapproval at people who dress as persons of the opposite sex, then you've got a whole class of people who are less deployable than everyone else. How does that affect everyone else? Well, they have to go places and do things that the favored class, the transgender group, is not having to do. Now, again, all of these things are not helpful to our military. They don't strengthen our military, make it more ready and have higher morale to take on the bad guys of the world. There is nothing that justifies any of this. It's not there to serve individuals. It's there to defend the country. Yes, you can have medical benefits and all that. We have that to support families. But we shouldn't allow the Department of Defense funds to go for a special interest, especially knowing surgeries are very, very expensive.
Yeah, and then when we look at this as well, and Caller, I appreciate you bringing this out, instead of you being prepared with military readiness, you're having to go through sensitivity training
right.
on dealing
all
with these issues.
And that's an opportunity cost. That's time off. That is time diverted from the kinds of training that maybe we would have fewer collisions of our Navy ships and accidents with our aircraft. There's so many signs of demoralizing difficulties in training that we're seeing in the all-volunteer force today. The last thing we need are more burdens put on the backs of men and women who know that none of this makes any sense. Deep down, everyone knows you can't change a man into a woman or a woman into a man, and it's really ludicrous to expect everyone to pretend as if that's really happening.
Again, thank you for your call, and thank you for your service. We've got many stacked up, just a few minutes left. Russ in Wisconsin, you're on the air.
Okay, as the President of the United States, I'm going to sign an executive order to stop this foolishness and just try and stop it. Well, isn't that what Obama did on some things? And Nobody could do anything to him. Why doesn't the president just do that?
Well, theoretically, yes. The president, in fact, on day one, let's say on the day after the inauguration, he could have in one swoop gotten rid of all of these directives. We gave the Pentagon and the White House a list. Here's the directives that you need to revoke. And that would have painted this issue as what it really is. It's not a legal matter. It's a political matter. So the politics of the Obama administration justified, in his mind, the executive orders that he signed and that his Secretary of Defense signed. But this president had a different mandate, and he had every right and power to do with executive order what would have painted this issue as a political issue that it is. He would also have the benefit of saying, look, I'm doing this for the right reasons, to strengthen our military, not to detract from morale and readiness and discipline and all the rest. Unfortunately, now it's in the court. And when you get involved in courts, it's very complicated. And you have a district judge who's issued a ruling. That is a barrier to the administration doing what it otherwise would do.
We need to get to John in Florida. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Hey, yeah, I just want to say, number one, they should not in any way, shape, fashion, or form allow anybody in the military. There's a lot of people who join the military just to get this done. Number one, I don't want my tax money paying for this. It's just not right.
Mm-hmm.
And the Bible plainly says that. And it's an abomination to my Lord Jesus Christ.
Thank you, John, for your call. And very quickly, Troy in Racine, Wisconsin, you have about 15, 20 seconds. Go ahead.
I just want to say congratulations on this because I had troubles with that surgery. I had it, and it's no fun. I just wanted to say I'll be praying for you, ma'am, that's on the phone. I don't know who your name is, but I wanted to say that God turned me back into be the person he wants me to be, and I want to glorify Jesus for what he's doing with you and Vicar Elias and on this subject because it is a matter we must discuss.
Thank you, Troy. We're out of time. CMRlink.org, CMRlink.org, the White House comment line 202-456-1111. Elaine Donnelly, you've got a quick closing comment here, if you would.
Well, I will just say that listeners will pray for Troy, too. My name is Elaine, and I care about the military. The men and women in the military cannot be heard, so it's up to us as civilians to speak up for them.
Great. Elaine, thank you for joining us here on short notice for a very important topic.
Thank you.
Elaine Donnelly from Center for Military Readiness, CMRlink.org, the White House, 202-456-1111.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the Internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.